Well, a crazy week of college football from Oklahoma and Texas in the Red River Shootout right there at the Texas State Fair, coming back from down 4 touchdowns to beat the Longhorns in a great rivalry. And then Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher, able to get a nice victory. And Zach Calzada, a young man getting to stand up and be able to come through in a big way and beat the Alabama Crimson Tide. An upset 41-38 in front of over 110,000 people. And joining us now, somebody that I couldn't think is better to join us to talk Texas A&M and Alabama. He was a legend at both schools, had a chance to play for Bear Bryant, coached after him, the Alabama Crimson Tide, to a national title, and joined us every Wednesday for about 5 or 6 years, and still is out there in Paris, Texas, working on his farm, and one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Coach Gene Stallings, kind enough to make time for us right now. Coach, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, and I hope your day's going well.
Chad, before we get to it now, tell me how the little girl's doing, because when we're through, we're through.
Yeah, okay. Well, the girl, she is doing awesome. She is now clearly faster than me, which isn't saying much. She is doing the swing by herself at the park, which is a little bit scary for Papa, you know, because she's kicking the legs and trying to get over the bar now. And, you know, you can only control what you control. But, you know, for somebody that played football, for someone like Bear Bryant, you know, guys can take some hits. But when you get a young daughter and you've got a couple daughters yourself, Coach, you know you got to do everything and to protect them. And when they get swinging on that thing about 7 feet, it gets a little scary.
Yes, it is scary. But anyway, you hugger for me, and I always enjoyed finding out a little bit more about her.
Well, I will always keep you in the loop on everything, whether we do interviews or not, Coach. I'll make sure to send you pictures. And now, you were in the middle of doing some work when I called. You're still out there, Coach. I know. How are the tomatoes right now? Is it getting too cold out there? Are you still able to grow them?
The tomatoes are gone, but I was doing some shredding. I've got about a 100-acre pasture that's really good, got some good grass on it for the cows this winter. So I was just shredding it down, making it look a little nicer, and making it easier for the cows to eat.
Well, Coach, there was a lot of excitement this week in Texas with the Cotton Bowl and also with Texas A&M winning that game. Coach, sometimes heroes step up, and it doesn't have to be a long-term thing. It could be overnight. But what we saw from Zach Calzada after a loss to Mississippi State, and I know how you feel about going down there with the Cowbells, but when you look at this game, just talk a little bit about what you saw, how you enjoyed watching it, you know, as somebody that has so many ties to both schools.
Right. First of all, I thought and still do think that Alabama had the best team. Best team doesn't always win, and you've got to give A&M the credit. They hung in there. It looked like that they were going to get beat, but they kept making the plays. It kept them in the game. The play that made the difference, as far as I'm concerned, and I hadn't talked to Coach Saban, but I will about this, is when you get the ball down in the 5 or 6 yard line, you got to come away with points. You know, and they throw an interception and come away with no points at all, and that just gives A&M all the excitement and enthusiasm and sort of puts a bubble on Alabama. So I think that was the key play of the game. But you got to give A&M credit. They hung in there and won the game, and it was a big win. I've never seen that many A&M students and alumni out on the field. I think there's a rule that you can't do that. They didn't pay attention to that. Everybody tried to get out on the field, and it was a joyous occasion if you were an Aggie or an Aggie fan.
Yeah, Coach, they ended up getting fined, I think, $100,000 for the students and everybody storming the field. But one question I have, so Texas A&M coming into this year, a lot of people thought would be a little bit better than they have been to this point, Alabama being the hunted. As a coach or even as a player, would you rather be the hunted or would you rather be the hunter trying to upset a team who's ranked number one?
I'd rather be the favorite. Anytime you're the favorite, most people think you got the best football team. If you got the best football team, you ought to win. That's not always the case, but people say, well, I'd rather be the underdog, and then if I don't win, I wasn't supposed to. I don't subscribe to that theory at all. I wanted to be the favorite every time we played the game. And now when we played the national championship game against Miami, they kept giving up and we were the underdog. And I said, wait a minute. We're a better football team than Miami. But anyway, A&M was a better team, but A&M won the game, and man, what a big win it was.
Coach, when you one of the other legendary coaches of the SEC spoke with you every Wednesday, and then Pat Dye on Thursday, and Coach Dye passed away a few years ago, but played in the day back at Georgia, coached at Auburn, very similar to ties of what you had this week with A&M and Alabama. He had in the oldest rivalry in the South. Georgia goes out and wins, and they really whoop some tail, and this is a team that continues to dominate. But if you look at it right now, I think we understand if Alabama wins out, they're fine. Yes.
Before you go any further, you mentioned Pat Dye. They erected a statue in his honor a few days ago there at Auburn, and I went down and paid my respect when they unveiled his trophy. I mean his monument statue. I was there and just flew down for the occasion and flew back. But what a great tribute it was! I just wish he were alive to be able to see it.
Coach, that is awesome.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, please.
I just wanted to put that in.
No, that definitely deserves to be interrupted. I mean, that's a special moment right there, Coach. And you guys have meant a ton to me over the last 6-7 years, getting to talk to you every week, and somebody that's always been a diehard football fan. But when you talk about the teams right now, do you feel, I mean, it's easy to say if Alabama wins out that they're back, but do you feel they're as good of a team still as the Georgia Bulldogs?
Well, we'll find out before long because they'll be playing in a championship game. And right now, it looks to me like that if I were going to pick the number one team in the country, I'd pick Georgia. Alabama loses to a team that they were a 15-17-point favorite. That shouldn't happen. I can see losing a game, but when you're a 15-17-point favorite, you need to win the football game. And they didn't do it. Nobody hates it any worse than Coach Saban. I understand that. But that's one of the things when you're coaching, you can't be second-guessing. When you're not coaching, you can. And I'm just saying if they could go back and change one thing when they threw that interception on like the 6-yard line, that was a bad decision.
Coach, Clemson, this is a team that has had so much. They've actually made 6 straight college football playoffs. I think people need to understand how incredible that is to even say and how tough it is. And you know that as a head coach that won a national title. But when you look right now, Dabo Swinney is very similar, a protege to you as a number of people having the opportunity like you did with somebody like a Bear Bryant. When you talk to Dabo and your grandson played there, do you feel that Clemson can turn it around? This is just sort of they're going through a struggle right now with the quarterback.
I think they're going to struggle. And then I would say their chances of being in the top 4 is going to be awfully slim. They've already lost 2 games, and ordinarily they don't lose 2 games in 2 years. But they're a good football team. They're not quite as good, in my opinion, as they were late defensively. They have everybody back. I'm surprised that they're not playing better defensively. I'm not surprised that the offense is lost a step or two because they lost an outstanding quarterback.
Coach, how big of a win does this mean for Jimbo? This is a guy that is he got an extension and is getting paid a lot of money. I'm sure former coaches like you, and I get to talk with Kay Stevenson every day, who, you know, coached at Arkansas but also coached with the Bills, and you know Kay. And I'm sure when you see $9.5 million and these numbers per year, you just shake your head and say, good for you, son. But when it comes
You know, I coached a long time. I never coached for the money. And it sort of bothers me a little bit. Probably shouldn't, but it does. When somebody has a good job and he leaves that job to go somewhere else for the money. And that's what Coach Fisher did one way or the other. He was doing a good job there at Florida State, and he left Florida State and went to A&M. Why in the world would you do that other than the money? And so I'm just sort of opposed to that, but he's done an outstanding job, and by beating Alabama, that's going to forgive a lot of losses that he'll have along the road.
That Mississippi State one, I'm sure. I know you don't like those cowbells down there when you play Jackie Sherrill and some of those guys, but that's not a loss.
Well, you know, they got a rule that you can't do it, and then everybody goes and has a bell. When I'd go to the conference meeting, I said, let's just take the rule out. If they're going to rattle those bells, let them rattle them, but don't be violating the rules saying that you can't use a cowbell when every student and alumni has one. And they rattle them, they make the record, but none of those people are playing. They went and lose the game on the field.
Yeah, Coach, I know you obviously mentioned Clemson struggling this year. One team that's not is Cincinnati. They're a little bit of an underdog still, if you will. They're ranked third in the country right now. But do you think they deserve a seat at the table, even though they play in a weaker conference? Or do you think that this could be one of those years where we either see two SEC teams or we see two Big Ten teams make the college football playoff?
Well, if we had 6-8 teams, that'd definitely be any better. Look, now I was looking at their schedule, maybe yesterday, and they don't play the type schedule that some of these other schools do. And I'm not voting, and I don't have a vote on the committee, but it would be hard for me to put them up there with the schedule that they play. And they can't do anything about schedule. They've got to play what they have, but there are lots of people that have a lot tougher schedules than they have.
Well, you know, and we always say at UCF, Coach, if you don't win it, just claim it anyway. So we would take the title. And, you know, but I'll tell you what, though, the SEC can have Gus Malzahn back right now. I'll tell you that much after what I'm seeing. But at the same time, it's one where if you look right now, Coach, at what we're seeing in the Big Ten, because it's a rare year right now. There are five teams in the top 10 out of the Big Ten, but they're all going to sort of, in my opinion, cannibalize themselves because they all play each other over the next 6 weeks. Is there a team that you've seen out of the Big Ten this year? Iowa is the highest ranked at number two, and they played a physical brand like you coached, and Kirk Ferentz has been a good coach. What do you think of Iowa?
I think they're playing extremely well, and I think they've got a chance to be in the top four when it's all said and done. If they can win that, of course, they got a championship game, and they'll have to win that championship game. But I'm impressed with what I've been able to see so far of Iowa.
Overall, you know, when they talk about a 12-team playoff, you're still for an 8-team playoff, correct, Coach?
Well, it doesn't make any difference. 8, 12, we just need more than four. When you're picking four, then somebody's got to make that decision. When you have 8 or 9, somebody wins to get into that playoff, and that's what I'm opposed to, just somebody picking who's the top four teams in the country as opposed to playing out. And if you had 6 or 8 competing and they play it, then the best teams would win.
Coach, we've talked so much, so I know your course of history as a player. You coached the head coach at Texas A&M at Dallas. You coached with Tom Landry for so long, and that's why I wanted to ask you. Many people know you for your national title here in this part of town because of what you did at Alabama in so many great years, but you were with the Dallas Cowboy coaching staff for almost 13 years. What do you think of what they're doing right now? Because they truly look like a contender.
They're playing well, and their quarterback is playing well, and they've got a couple of running backs, so that both of them are playing well, and defense is playing good. They're intercepting a lot of passes. I would say that their chance of getting into the playoffs is awfully good right now. Of course, they played a great majority of their games in Dallas, and when they play them in Dallas, seems to me like that they have a little bit of an edge. Maybe they're ready to play or something, but they've got to play some of those tough teams on the road. And when they went on the road, then they'll be, in my opinion, ready to play for the playoffs.
Speaking with legendary coach Gene Stallings. Coach, I know you've been social distancing in Paris, Texas, way before Corona and other things from last year. You got a nice farm out there. And sometimes every day's in chaos and in big cities, I wish sometimes I was out there with you on a rocking chair and a sweet tea. But when it comes down to it, you look at somebody like Texas, and you get a lot of Longhorn fans out there, and the Cotton Bowl is always a big event when it comes to Red River Shootout. The Texas State Fair is there. It's just a huge overall event. Have you ran into any at the grocery store or anybody since Saturday with the Longhorn hat on?
Most of the time in this part of the country, it's in my there for Oklahoma. I don't live too far from the Oklahoma border, and Oklahoma's having a great year, and Texas was up 2 or 3 touchdowns, and Oklahoma came back, so you got to give them credit. But I really thought that Texas was going to win it this year.
Should there be a quarterback controversy over one game, in your opinion? Because Spencer Rattler was the guy – with Heisman hopes. He gets pulled. The other guy does better. They come back and win. As a head coach, is that a dilemma, or you go with the guy that you trusted from day one?
Well, I don't mind having a dilemma. Dilemma says you got two good ones. When you just have one, there's no dilemma. So that gives you competition in practice, and they're going to play the best player. I've never known of a coach that didn't play the best player at the quarterback position, running back position, defensive tackle, or whatnot. Little competition during practice doesn't hurt anything.
See, I was told another thing as a high school quarterback. The main guy got hurt, and they said, well, we got a dilemma right now. We only have Chad at quarterback, and that was the end of the conversation. So my opinion was a little bit different on the word dilemma, but that's all right, Coach. You know, it's always great to catch up with you, and more importantly, we always talk faith, family, football in that order. How is the health right now? I know at 86 you're still out there working on the lawn, but how's everything going?
Well, I just got off tractor just a few minutes ago. I've been doing some shredding. I've got about a 90-acre pasture that looks good, and I'm getting it ready for the cows to eat on this winter. And I'm staying as active as I can. I went down to the Ark the other day there in Kentucky. I don't know if you've ever been to it, but it is a fabulous facility, and I would recommend anybody going down and visiting that.
It's what is it? The Ark in Kentucky, you said?
Well, the Ark, you know, Noah's Ark.
Oh, okay.
Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
You know, put all the animals on it, and he built it, and it took 100 years to build it, and it's an exact replica. And Ruth Ann's on her birthday, that's what she wanted to do, to go down to see that and tell the girls, and we went down and visited the Ark, and it was a fabulous facility.
Yeah, Coach. I actually have been to go see it, and yeah, you're absolutely right. It is mind blowing to be able to go and actually see the life size replica of it. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, no animals, right? That might get scary, Coach. Right?
Well, they've got a lot of cages and pictures of animals in there, but there are no animals except the people in the halls. Sometimes they act like an animal, but anyway, it was an outstanding experience, and I'd recommend it to anybody to go down there.
You might be able to control an offensive line that could bite away 1,800 pounds, but I don't think a tiger live on a boat. I don't think you want to see that right now. Coach, yeah, I knew, and when you said Ark, obviously, as somebody that grew up and was raised in Catholic school my whole life, I do know the story of Noah's Ark. I didn't know that they had one, a replica, and they're showing me pictures. Now, Drew actually grew up in Indiana, so not too far from Kentucky, and is showing me pictures right now of this. And, man, that's awesome right there. That is so cool to see.
It's fabulous, and to think that Noah built it in 100 years, because he had the help of the good Lord. I'm sure he helped him, but... somebody had to pick up those timbers and put them in place and make it way, and then get all those animals and put them in there. We talk about miracles now. Being able to get a couple of every animal in the Ark, that's a miracle within itself.
It truly is right there. And some would say this week what A&M was able to pull off for the rest of the country. But I want to ask you about this question, if you remember this, Coach. So I'm going through the archives, and we're posting that you're coming on the show. And first off, it's a blessing to have you on. And I know we've been friends over the years, but everybody out here respects it so much that you give time for us, even in short notice. And thank you so much, Coach. But you had a sign in your hand when you coached Texas A&M that said, "Beat Bama." Do you remember that?
And that was where?
You were coaching at A&M, and you had a sign that said, "Beat Bama, Alabama," like today, which the signs, because everybody...
I don't know. We played Alabama in the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
But I don't remember a sign. I'm not into all that. I might have had one. Somebody might have given it to me to show us something. But as far as carrying it around and thinking that had anything to do with the game, that had absolutely nothing to do with the game.
It was more of an index card, so I don't think it was.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we did win the game. I wouldn't want to go back and replay it, because, as Coach Bryce said, they had the better team once they did, but we won the game. Same way with Alabama. They had the better team, and they lost. And sometimes the best team does not always win, and that was the case when my team at Texas A&M played against Alabama in the Cotton Bowl.
You were standing next to Ed Haggard. Ed Hargett, I'm sorry.
Ed Argan. He's gonna come down and visit with me in a couple of days. He's and his wife making a little trip, and they're gonna stop by the ranch, and hopefully I can talk him into spending the night. But anyway, Ed was an outstanding quarterback and outstanding human being.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for the time. This means the world to me.
Tell me real quick about the little girl. How's she doing?
She is doing great, and we actually are going to this weekend. I'm taking her to the zoo, and it's not Noah's Zoo, but it's going to be fun. And we got to feed the alligators, and she even gave my dad a Go Gators, which I know from Brittany being an LSU gal, that was probably – it was really tough to get that video in, but we sent my dad a Florida Gator video. So she's a sweetheart. She really is truly a blessing, and I am blessed, and I've had many DNA checks to make sure she's mine because she's way too cool.
You be sure and hugger for me. It's always good to talk to you, Chad. Holler anytime. I'm happy to be on your show.